Lord, for peace in the midst of the storm. Now, and we don't know what happens. We don't know what's going to happen. A couple of years ago, I was reading through the book of John, and I put a little note in my notes. This is about 2 or 3 years ago. I said, preach a sermon series on the five times that Jesus says peace in the book of John. I wrote that down 3 or 4 years ago, and I was praying about and saying, Lord, what are some things you want me to say in the next few months? And I ran across that note. So folks, that's a point right there. Always take a pen and a piece of paper, I use my app now, my OneNote app. And when I'm praying and a thought comes to my mind, just put it down. And 2 or 3 years ago, and then a few weeks ago, it's like, well, look at that and do something with that. And I had no idea that we'd be facing the stuff that we're facing. And when I started Wednesday night about the five times in the book of John that you find the word peace. Now, I really believe that God has a word for us. And I want you to turn to the second time in John chapter 16. And I want us to go to verse 31 and we'll read through 33. And tonight, last time we talked about the gift of peace. In John 14 and 27, Jesus said, my peace I give. So have you received the gift of peace? You have a gift, and you've got to appreciate it, you've got to apply it, and you've got to accept it. So if you're walking around talking about, my nerves are shot, then you've not accepted the gift of peace. You know, when people are all in a tizzy, and when people are running to a fro, like, what are we going to do? We as Christians are to be calm. We are to be collected. We are to be assured. We're facing some difficulties. We're facing some problems. But our God is a way maker and a miracle worker, and He is in this, and a chain breaker. Can you say amen? So tonight, let's talk about a cheer. The cheer of peace. John chapter 16, verse 31. If you're there, say amen. And Jesus answered them, said, do you now believe? Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh and is now come that you will be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because my Father is with me. Verse 33. You know, I want to stop right there. He's telling those disciples, you're going to bail on me. You're going to forsake me when I need you the most. And the next thing that I would tell them would not be what he was telling, because I would tell them how, what a scoundrels y'all are, and how dare you do that when I've done so. No. He said, you're going to bail out on me, but that's all right. These things have I spoken unto you because trouble's coming, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you tonight for the gift of peace. And this sermon series is God's peace to you. And thank you for that peace for us. Anoint your servant to preach and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody, I'm at peace tonight. Amen. I've got a feeling. Hey, tell somebody, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. All the music today and the messages and the scriptures have been about giving us peace. You know, this is the second time in the book of John that Jesus mentions peace. And this is when Jesus was getting ready to die. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that we as Christians have peace even when we face death. And he was looking at them. He knew where he was going, but he knew what they were getting ready to go through. He said, your world is about to be rocked. You're going to see me die on a cross. You are going to be flooded with pain and sorrow and extreme trials. And what does he say to them? He says, listen, be of good cheer. That is a fascinating statement. And you may be thinking, how in the world could Jesus be talking about be of good cheer when they were about to go through the worst time of their lives? But really, as Jesus was getting ready to die, he was getting his disciples ready to live, knowing that their world would come crashing down as he would be lifted up. He wanted them to know ahead of time that they could be of good cheer, because just when it seemed like they were down to nothing, God is up to something. Just when they were going to have their world rocked, God was going to roll the stone away. And that's why he could say to them, facing the cross, facing the suffering, facing the confusion, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I want somebody to say, "Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world." I want you to help me preach tonight and tell your neighbor, "Be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world." Why don't you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? I said, "Be of good cheer." You see, we're living in this time of worry. And how many of you will be honest and say, "I'm dealing with a lot of worry right now"? And you will say, "You don't know what I'm going through. And I don't know if it's medical, or I don't know if what you're worried about is sitting right beside you. I don't know." But I hope not. But the truth of the matter is that we are worried. In fact, the biography of most people's lives are worry, hurry, and bury. I heard about a Sunday school child who was riding a bus back home, and they had given every one of them a verse of scripture. And her verse of scripture was Mark 11 and 22, which says, "Have faith in God," or "Have the God faith," the faith of God, or God's faith. The little girl got off the bus at the house, and she got off, and there was a big gust of wind, and her piece of paper with the scripture, "Have faith in God," blew away in the wind. And she said, "Mama, oh no, my faith in God just blew away." And when I feel the winds of the coronavirus, and I see terrorism, and I look at the face of the average churchgoer, and I think, my goodness, the wind has blown some people's faith away. But I want you to know, with the winds of doubt, with the winds of disease, with the winds of death and the winds of discouragement, God's got a word for the church. He's got a word for your house. He's got a word for this nation. He's got a word that will endure the test of time. And it is one word. It's called peace. And he said, "I'm going to give you peace in this world. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and I'm going to receive the peace of God tonight." Can you give him praise for the peace of God? Peace be to you. Now, the word worry means to pull apart. Did you know that? And worry does that. It pulls us apart. And I told you last Wednesday night that the word peace really means to be bound together. And you know, if I'm walking in a dark room by myself as a little boy, I'm afraid. But if I'm close to daddy and I walk in a dark room, I'm not afraid. And that's what worry does. It takes your peace away. It tries to divide you from the presence of God. But listen, I want to give you three things tonight. The source, point one, the source of peace. Go back to John 16 and 33. Now, there's a lot of people going to a lot of things for the source of peace. They're trying to hit the bottle. They're trying to take a pain medication. And if you need it, you need it. And I want you to know that there's nothing wrong. If you have a genuine need, God uses those things. But people are looking to nicotine and caffeine, and they're looking for other things. But I want you to know, the source of peace is not in a bottle. The source of peace is not in a man in a white coat. The source of peace is not a political party. The source of peace is found in John 16 and 33. "These things have I spoken unto you." He said, "I am the source of your peace." Can you say amen? Notice it says, "These things," go back to John 16, 30. "These things I have spoken." Spoken. See that right there? That's the source of peace. The word of God. Psalms 23 is a source of peace. Amen. Psalm 29 and verse 11. "The Lord will give strength unto his people." The Lord will bless his people. Are you some of his people here tonight? Can you be blessed with the peace of God? Psalm 56 and verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Psalm 119 and 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. I love the word of God, and I've got great peace, unexplainable peace. But the second part of that is true too. It says, and nothing shall offend them. So you can't have peace and be offended at the same time. Go to Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Fox News, whose mind is stayed on ABC app. No, whose mind is stayed on what somebody didn't say or somebody said or somebody didn't shake my hand. By the way, I want you to know today the preacher didn't shake my hand. Thank you, Dr. Tedder, for telling me that. I call him Dr. Tedder because his wife is on a hospital bed at the house there. So he is a doctor now. Amen. And we're praying for Sister Joan. Amen. And thank the Lord. She's one tough lady there. The devil just can't. He can knock her down, but he can't knock her out. Amen. Amen. But Philippians chapter, go to Isaiah 26:3. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Go to Philippians 4, a classic, and the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding. I want to give you some Bible emergency numbers. Now, the governor didn't mention this yesterday. And I appreciate leadership and our political, people that are trying to look out for our best interest. I scratch my head sometimes on the decisions they make. And we're praying for them, but, I would have, if I'd known about the press conference, I would have faxed him these emergency numbers that people could call, when you're feeling, facing danger, dial up Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you feel God is far away from you, here's a number, 139, Psalm 139. Y'all with me tonight? If you don't feel like you're loved, read Romans 8:38 through verse 39. If you've sinned or failed, read 1 John 1:8-9. When people have failed you, just read the entire 27th Psalm. When your faith needs encouraging, you need a faith lift, just read Hebrews 11. When you're scared, call on Psalms 23. When you're worried, read again Matthew 6:25-34. When you're hurt, call on Colossians 3:12. When you feel no one is on your side, go back to Romans 8. When you need rest, go to Matthew 11, when he said, I'll give you rest. When you're suffering, go back to Romans 8 one more time. When you're falling, go to Psalm 121. When you need courage, read Joshua 1. Have not I commanded thee? Be thou strong and very courageous. When you're in need, read Philippians 4:19. That's an emergency line that says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. When you're hated because of your faith, read in John 15. And when you're losing hope, go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and when you don't understand what God is doing, read Isaiah 55:8-9, where my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. These things have I spoken unto you. We have a source of peace. Call up that emergency number. It is the word of Almighty God. Can you praise him for the things he's spoken? 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now notice that word, and this is a very good, though weak, translation. In the Greek it says, cast and keep on casting your cares. Now, usually they translate that in the singular, cast your cares upon him. But they got it right. Brother King James got it right. Casting. Somebody say casting. That means you are content. When you get a care, you cast it on the Lord. You get another care or another issue, you cast it upon the Lord. I want you to know that he spoke peace, and the source of peace is the word of God. Can you say amen? And number two, not only the source of peace, but notice the place of peace. Because go back to John 16:33 again. Notice the place. It says, these things have I spoken. That's the source, the word of God. That what? In me. Notice, there's in me, you might have peace, period. And then what's the second place? In the... Now, these are polar opposites. There's in Jesus, and there's in the world. So in the world, you will have tribulation. Listen, this world has had tribulations. In the 5,600 years of recorded history, there have only been 292 years of peace, historians have researched. In that 5,600 years, there have been 14,532 recorded wars that we know of. They fought an average of 2.6 years. 3.6 billion people have been killed in those 14,532 wars. Out of 185 generations, only 10 have seen unbroken peace despite signing over 8,000 peace treaties. Let's just talk about the 20th century, which most of us were born in the 20th century. The 20th century alone experienced two world wars in which 60 million people died, a level of carnage never experienced in any previous century. Thankfully, we've avoided the third world war, but now that's been placed by cyber terrorism, micro wars, and on every continent there is a known conflict. You don't have to be over in the 1040 window. You don't have to be over there in Islamabad. You don't have to be in the hills of Afghanistan. Some of you are, conflict is in the office tomorrow morning at 9:40. In this world, there is the coronavirus. The swine flu hit us 10 years ago. 17,000 people died. Didn't get it. Got it and died. Now, I really don't understand. We've only had just a tiny few people to die. And you people, was that, shouldn't we be alarmed? Look, you know, people die every day. let me just put it to this world. In this world, you're going, by the way, here's a statistic that was released by the Center for Disease Control, that said this: one out of every one person is going to die. Did you know that? Look at the person next to you. They are eventually going to pass away, should the Lord tarry. Now, go to the home, go to the restroom, look in the mirror, and the person you're looking at, just remember, they're going to be the guest of honor at Joyner's funeral home one day, or Thomas Yelverton. In this world, you are going to have tribulation. But there's another place. Go back to John. He didn't say in the world. He said in me, you've got a difference. In Christ, you can be of good cheer. Somebody said this: peace isn't the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of your problems. The reason why most people in life never find peace is because they are looking for peace. What do you mean? So you'll never find peace looking for peace. You'll only find peace looking for Jesus. Because when you find Jesus, you will find peace. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for that? And I said, in Him. That's the place. John Wesley said, when I looked to Jesus, the dove of peace flew into my heart. But when I looked at the dove of peace, it flew away. The great Christian Corrie ten Boom, who was put in a Nazi concentration camp. Her family hid Jews in Holland. And she said, when I look at the world, I get depressed. She said, when I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I'm at rest. Everybody, I repeat, everybody is looking for peace. For most people are looking in every place but the right place. Some people, as I've said, are trying to find peace in pills. Some are trying to find it in possessions. Some are trying to find it in work, in relationships. But my friend, peace is not in possessions. It's not in pleasure. It's not in pills. Peace is in a person. And what is his name? His name is Jesus. Are you in Jesus? If you're in Jesus, you can take that stone and put it in a sling, and you can give it a fling, and that old giant can come down, because I'm in the name of the Lord. I'm in Jesus, and I am at peace. Can you say amen? I thought of it this way. We are prone to hurricanes in eastern North Carolina. I remember growing up that my parents would talk about Hurricane Hazel in the 50s. And I want you to understand that picture in your mind this massive hurricane raging over the Outer Banks. It's coming in our direction. Violent winds are whipping the water into a frenzy, and giant waves are coming across Highway 12, and chaos is everywhere. Ships are trying to get out of the way to safe harbor. Crews are desperately trying to anchor down their vessels. Cities and towns that dot the shoreline are hit with panic. People are rushing around, emptying the grocery stores and batting down the hatches. And the communities are bracing for an onslaught. Others are packing up their cars and heading inland to attempt to escape the coming storm. That's not a very peaceful picture, is it? We know what that's about. Amen? But do you realize that when that hurricane is over that water and kicking up the waves and everybody's scurrying about 20 feet down in the water, there is a different picture. 20 feet down, the waters are calm and the fish are swimming. And they are completely unaware of the turmoil above the waterline. Y'all got that? While everything up there is going to hell in a handbasket, that little fish is just 20 feet down. That fish is at peace. And my friend, when you're in Jesus, all of hell can be swirling around you. And this world can be all in turmoil. But when you're in the Lord, you are in the right place. Why don't you give him a hand of praise that he's the peace in the midst of the storm. I said he's the peace in the midst of the storm. And then finally, there's the promise of peace. Go back to John chapter 16 and verse 33. Oh, the source of peace is his word. Learn his word, love his word, share his word, write his word down. Speak his word over your problems, your issues, your pain, your past. He said, I've spoken. The source of peace is his presence. We're like the fish in 20 feet down in the midst of the storm. We're in the Lord. And then finally, the promise. Because notice Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I will overcome the world. I'm going to work on overcoming the world. I know you got a tough boss, and I'm going to see what I can do about it to overcome the world. No. He didn't say, I might overcome. He didn't say, I'll give it my best shot. He didn't say, I'll do my best. He said, no, I have overcome. And I want you to know, he did overcome. But notice he hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't been whipped, and he hadn't been the crowns of thorns. This is Easter. The passion of the Christ. He hadn't been put into the tomb yet. But he already said, I have overcome. And I want you to know something. You need to talk like that too. These people to walk around like, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. No, by God's grace, I've made it. Amen. And I might not be there tonight. And I might face hell and high water tomorrow. And Friday is coming. But you know what happens after Friday. Turn around and tell somebody Sunday's on the way. I have overcome. He has already, he didn't tell them, I think I'm overcome. He told them by faith. He told them that because he knew that just, yes, I'm going through it. Yes, there's going to be tribulation, but I have overcome the world. I have already blessed you. I have already poured out my spirit. I have already defeated the coronavirus. I have all authority and might and power. He is God Almighty. And if you serve the Lord, you have overcome. Somebody give him praise tonight. I got two sermons I'm going to give you in about 3 minutes. All right. These are full sermons I've preached. I've preached a sermon, where he's been, I can win. Think about it. Wherever he's been, I can win. He's been in the place of trouble, but where he's been, I can win. So when I get into the place of trouble, where he's been, I can win. Oh, he's been in the place of pain. Has anybody ever been in the place of pain? Well, where he's been, I can win. He's been in the place of rejection. Have you ever been rejected by spouse or children or people or like the pastor said, in jobs and things? But he's already been in the place of rejection, and where he's been, I can win. He's been in the place of abuse, and where he's been, I can win. He's been in the place of lowliness, but where he's been, I can win. Oh, he wept over Jerusalem. He shed tears. Where he's been, are you weeping? Are there some tears? But where he's been, bless God, I can win. And oh, take me down to the old graveyard. Pull out the sod of this world. Oh, but friend, when you lower that casket into the ground, just understand this, where he's been, I can win. And he was dead, but he rose again. And you can plant me in this dirt, but there's a getting up morning, hallelujah, because where he's been, bless God, I have already overcome because of Jesus. I'm getting fired up. Hallelujah. Now here's another sermon I've preached. You ever heard, I remember years ago I heard this phrase, he's been there, he's done that. You ever say that, somebody say, well, have you done such and such? I've been there, I've done that. Got to what? I don't ever wear t-shirts. I wish I looked handsome enough to wear t-shirts. T-shirts show everything. Come on. If you're nice and firm, you know, you can wear a t-shirt, but if you're like me, you need to wear other shirts. Come on now. But where he's been, some people wear short, you go to Walmart and I just tell you, I'm starting to chase rabbits. Let me move on here. I wouldn't advise going to Walmart. We might go to Walmart tonight and get some, I don't know. We're praying about it. Where he's, listen. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Listen, he's been there, done that. If you've ever been hurt, he's been there. He's done that. You ever been abused? He's been there. He's done that. You ever been broke? He was there. And he did that. He became poverty for us. People talking about Jesus. You know, these prosperity preachers. And by the way, I'm a prosperity preacher, but these prosperity preachers talking about, well, Jesus was wealthy because they gambled on his garment and he had a house and this, that, and the other. I don't believe it for a minute that he was wealthy. Not at all. You know why he wasn't wealthy? He left glory. He left heaven. Listen, the fact that he even drew the dirt of this world, from what he had, he became poor. Yes, there are people that have poverty. God doesn't want that. God doesn't will that for our lives. He wants us to be blessed and highly favored of God. But he, if you put it to you like Ricky Nams in East Carolina, if you got some more month than money, he's been there and he's done that. I don't know. He went fishing one time, didn't he, and caught that. A couple of times I hit it down to the lake just to see what happens. Glory to God. But he made a way where I'm just telling you folks, whatever you've been through, the pain, the depression, the hurt, please understand you've got peace. God has peace for you because he's been there and he's done that. Be of good cheer. If you've even are going to the grave, just like I mentioned, he's been there. He's done that. Be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. He is Lord. He said, I have and you will and you are. Why don't you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Horatio Stafford was born, I'm closing. Horatio Stafford was born in 1828. He was a real estate baron and very wealthy man, but he was a tremendous Christian and a close friend of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist from Chicago. He lived in Chicago, and during the Chicago fire, he lost his business. And in that fire, his only son was killed. It seemed like his life was covered with a canopy of darkness. His wife was under tremendous stress, so he sent her and their four daughters to England, which was their homeland, for vacation. He told them that, I'll join you 2 weeks, but I've got business to take care of. So he put his wife and four daughters on a ship and sent them across. And as they were in sight of land on the other side, a storm hit, and tragically, all four Spafford's daughters were drowned, and only his wife survived. And she sent a telegram with these words, "Saved alone." With the heaviest of hearts, Horatio Spafford got on that ship and made his way across England to get his wife. He got on board the same ship to come back, and on the way back, he said to the captain, "Show me about where the ship went under and my daughters drowned." And the captain obliged him. The captain got to the spot and said, "This is about the general area where your daughters drowned." And they tell us that he sat down on the deck and he took out a piece of paper. And he began to write some words. And the words were, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." Friend, I'm just here to tell you, there's going to come times where we're going to go through some tough times. In this world, we will have tribulation. "But whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say." That's what he wrote. "It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and have shed his own blood for my soul." Oh, somebody say, "It is well, it is well." My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And then he gives us that last verse. Would you stand with me tonight? And I'll try to play it. Would you stand with me? "And Lord, haste the day." Listen, when my daughters have drowned and my business has failed, and when the coronavirus has been detected in my neighborhood, oh Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight and the clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound. The Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Somebody give him praise that it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with, Pastor, my soul. Come on, Brother Tom. Amen. Let's sing that. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
One more time.
I need Mike on the piano, please.
My soul.
Time.
It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Give him a hand of praise if it's well with your soul tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm done. God
is
good.
Of God. I am redeemed.
Well, I am redeemed.
I've been bought with the price. Jesus changed my whole life. Well, if anybody asks you just who I am, won't you tell them? I am redeemed. Well, I am redeemed. I've been bought with. just who I am. Won't you tell them I am redeemed? Well, where there was hate, love now abides. Where there was confusion, peace now reigns. Well, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am redeemed.
Sing it, church.
Just who I am, won't you tell them I am redeemed?
My favorite part.
Well, I'll tell of His favor, gonna tell of His love, gonna tell of His goodness to me. Well, He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free. Well, I am redeemed.
I am.
I've been born.